Welcome to In Pursuit of Purpose podcast. It is your host, Marcus, aka Mark My Words. And if you are within the sounds of my voice, then you have found yourself in the right place. And if you're not within the sounds of my voice, then you, my friend, are not my friend. Again, it is your host with the most, Marcus, and today's show is going to be a dynamic show, a phenomenal show, a great show, a wonderful show, all those beautiful words that you can never think about. But I've been anticipating this show because I've shot the flyer out there for a while on this, and so many people that are in this community are awaiting this show. And you know, if you been listening to me for a while, then you already know I'm always in search and seeking for those who are inspiring me and inspiring people. So I use the tagline inspiring people, because I'm always liking the fact that someone is out there using their gifts, using their time, and using their resources to bring life to people, health to people, healing to people. And that's who our next guest is, Suzanne Marsh, who is a speaker, a health coach, and a spiritual teacher. Yes, I have my show right here. A spiritual teacher, great guest of mine. So be sitting still for this one, okay? You're not gonna want to miss this. I want Suzanne to introduce herself a little bit more about who she is that I may not know, that you and I both get to share in the experience together. So without further ado, here is my guest, Suzanne.
Hi. First, I want to say I greatly appreciate you today for what you do and spreading these messages. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing. So I'm Suzanne. As was said, I am a spiritual teacher and a health coach and a speaker. This spiritual teaching part is really where my heart lies, and that's been a really wild journey to get here, but it's been a wonderful, fun journey. A few other things about me. I'm a mom with two kids. I have two sons. They're 25 and 22, and they're probably the biggest part of my heart. When my youngest left home to go to college, that's when things needed to change in my life. What I was doing wasn't as fulfilling career-wise, and then without the kids there, I didn't have that place to go for fulfillment. So that started this whole crazy journey on how I got here and what I'm doing today. So there's a big sense of purpose again in my life to be able to bring these messages to people and help people and take all that energy I had for my children and bring that out into the world.
Very nice. This is good. I'm going to be interested in what you got to say then. So being a spiritual teacher, being a health coach, being a speaker, and also being a mom of a fur baby here, you have, who's Maddie. Maddie has been a very welcoming, showing the greatest hospitality, and she can hear me, I know, and she's a beautiful, beautiful baby, dog, and it's just gave me a great warm welcome into your home, Suzanne here, and I'm appreciative of this. One of the questions, because I have many, I have so many questions, but we're not gonna ask every question. It's just all about letting it flow. you kind of gave us a little bit about your story, about why you got into it, you know, your son leaving home for college. But you talk about the one thing that we're here for, and that's these seven life lessons. And I think that that's going to be intriguing. So before you give us the breakdown of these seven life lessons, why seven? Like, why not eight? Why not nine? Why not 10? Why not 12? You know, why not nine, the complete cycle? You know what I mean? But why seven?
I don't know if that's a really interesting part of the story, but what really changed in my life was meeting my mentor almost 2 years ago. And my mentor came up with the seven life lessons through meditation. So they're very divinely guided through him. And it came up with the seven life lessons. And as he muscle tested it, and as he went through, he asked, is there six? Is there eight? Is there nine? There was like, nope, seven. And that was just very divinely guided. And when I met him, what he does really resonated with me. I really thought that these seven life lessons were something that were very important. And he has taught me what he knows, and he's worked with me for 2 years. And that's the newfound fulfillment. That's the thing that has given me renewed life.
Wow. That's pretty cool. You know, I believe in the power of mentors. Mentors are something special. And I have a mentor, and I use him all the time. He's my spiritual mentor. But, okay, seven life lessons. What are they?
They're forgiveness, judgment, control, separation, identity, divine guidance, and unconditional love.
Forgiveness,
judgment, control, separation, identity, divine guidance, and unconditional love.
Okay, so let's unpack all of that right now, because these lessons, you know, obviously impact all of us in some way, and we sometimes don't know how to navigate through these things. One of the things I'm going to start to do is unpack all these seven life lessons, because it's good to have seven life lessons, but how do we attack these in, you know, how do we attack these in good and both, you know, positive ways that can benefit us? One of the questions, because the first one I started off with, because it was me, which is separation. I just want to know, like, what can cause separation in someone's life, like besides divorce or besides finances, that actually, you know, that naturally in some way triggers separating, you know, separation of family, children, home, you know, all of that stuff. But what could trigger us to go into separation? Because as a little child myself, I went into separation from I'm the second oldest of eight kids. And I used to always go back to my room because my mom had six girls, two boys. Being the second oldest of those siblings of mine, I was surrounded by all girls. And so my little brother was like next to, my mom had him like nearly last. So you can imagine growing up in my house with me, being the oldest boy. And I couldn't relate. So I went to my bedroom. I started to just say, you know what? Y'all don't understand me. I don't understand y'all. And one of the things I'm going to talk about is that identity one too. That's coming up though. But the separation, what causes that? What can send someone into that state of separating themselves besides these natural things like divorce and all of that?
Well, with each and every one of the life lessons, they're here to teach us something. So within that situation, there was something there that was important for you to learn. It was a divinely guided place that you are at. It's my belief that we choose our parents and we choose ourselves, or we choose the situations to learn the things we need to learn from those situations. So everything ultimately happens for our good, but you were in that exact situation because you needed to learn that life lesson of separation. So I'm not exactly sure what caused it, except for the fact that it was something you needed to learn. It was important for your growth. So you were there in a situation to learn.
Do you think God was molding me?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I see God is good, you know. My pastor usually says, God is good, and good is always flowing from me, and good is always flowing to me, you know. So I just truly believe that God is, you know, this thing of good that wants the best for us. And so when I look back at those times and I look at where I am now, I look at that situation as, and this was for my good, so that I can do what I'm doing right now and be where I am right now today. Would you agree that God is good?
Absolutely. And everything happens for our good. Even things that seem really hard happen to give us the opportunity to learn, because we don't really pay attention when the flowers are blooming and the sun's shining, and we can't really ground the lessons. And one of my biggest lessons is still separation. Mm. So that's one of my big lessons. Mm. And I can now pinpoint moments in my life where I'm being guided to learn that lesson. It's like, it's the one that I still struggle with a little bit.
That's phenomenal that you have the awareness that you are still going through that, even in your teaching others and guiding others. And you still have the awareness to know that, hey, I'm still working through this one, even as I speak to you. But I think that vulnerability shows a lot of courage to step out in front of people and put yourself out there and say, but I'm getting, this is the way you get through these things. You challenge yourself to manage yourself around these. And this goes into something key that I want to talk about that I know that you would love to talk about. And it's about relationship repairing, you know, and with me, with you going through that phase, still something you're still learning to navigate, with me having gone through that as a child, even still today, I am dealing with, I love my family, but there is no real truth. There is no, we love each other and we know it, but there is no oneness with us, you know. And as much as I would love to stick around my family all the time, I can't be around them, and I love them and they know it. It's genuine, but I just can't. So how can one go about diving into new relationships or repairing relationships after leaving broken ones? Because I think that's what happened with me. I see it as a broken thing over there, and maybe it's me. Maybe it's not them. Maybe it's me. We got to unpack this, because this is good. This is going to be good. Let me rephrase. Because I think we go into relationship after relationship after relationship after relationship, and what happens is we end up repeating some of the same things from old relationships. What's that repeating part? What is that? Could it be forgiveness of self, non-forgiveness of self? What is that that we're carrying over? Because it could be resentment, it could be anger, it could be hate. But I think one wants to know, especially me, but more so I think people want to know, what is that they're carrying over that they can work on losing?
Well, that's where the seven life lessons come in. For example, if you have the life lesson of judgment to learn, and you meet somebody, and they're this wonderful person, you know, that how everybody is wonderful when you first meet them. And then what happens over time is, if you have the life lesson, for example, of judgment to learn, sooner or later, judgment will pop up in that relationship. And that'll trigger those old things that are still unhealed. That'll trigger the things that are still there. And when that happens, your view of that other person starts to change. They start to become like the people who judged you in the past. And that starts the conflict in the relationship. If you have forgiveness as your life lesson to learn, sooner or later in a relationship, you're going to need to forgive them. Because we're all human beings, we make mistakes. So that one will keep popping up in relationships. And when those pop up and you don't feel forgiven, or that lesson gets triggered in your life, your view of that other person changes. You know, does it ever feel like relationships repeat themselves in your life? Mm-hmm. And then that person that was once this wonderful person now reminds you of the people that didn't forgive you in the past, or that judged you in the past. And that's where relationships start conflict and start breaking down.
That's pretty good. And I'm glad that you went into forgiveness, because forgiveness is hard for many to do. And why is it important? Like, who's forgiveness for, and why is it important that we forgive?
Forgiveness is one of my favorites, and it's an often a place where we start. A lot of people misunderstand forgiveness, and they think that if you forgive somebody, that you're saying what they did was okay, or you're letting them off the hook, and the ego hates to let anybody off the hook. So we hold on to not forgiving, but forgiveness and what you'll tolerate from somebody are two totally separate issues. You can forgive somebody and not have them in your life, and that's perfectly okay on the spiritual level, because on the spiritual level, nobody wants you to be harmed. So you don't need to be harmed. You don't need to tolerate a bad behavior. You can take a step back even from family. But forgiveness comes from you understanding that they are on their own journey. Their journey is not really our business. It doesn't need to be our business. It can be if we're in a close relationship with them, but it doesn't need to be. They have their own path, and they have their own lessons to learn. And if forgiveness is one of them, they're working through that as well as you are. So you can actually just let go, forgive them. And one of the keys is you don't even have to tell them you've forgiven them. You can just forgive them and move on with your life, whether they are in your life or not, is not part of forgiving.
That's wonderful. Because you said that you don't even have to tell them that you've forgiven them. And so often I think we believe in order to feel like we're sorry, we have to make the other person see us be sorrowful and see us be like down about it. And to me, on the flip side of that, to me, it seems like that's just an ego booster for them. You know, and so I like that you said I don't even have to tell them that I've forgiven them, because sometimes it is hard for us to go to someone and say I forgive you or say I'm sorry, or you know, it's hard for us to do that, you know, because we want to feel right and we don't want to be judged, and that's one of the seven life lessons, judgment, and that's pretty cool. I want to ask though, because of this forgiveness thing that a lot of people struggle with, and I think that's one of the strangleholds on people, is not being able to let go of something.
Yeah, you know? Very much. The hard part of forgiveness is our own egos. Our egos want to hold people accountable. Our egos want somebody to come to us and say they're sorry. They want them to be punished or be held accountable because they've wronged us and that hurt. And we want them to feel that hurt as well. But that's not true forgiveness. True forgiveness is the lack of the ego needing to do that, because we understand they're on their own journey. And they're, whether they forgive others or whether they're held accountable is their business, not our business. And when we can separate those, then we can come to a place of forgiveness. And this happens a lot in families, you know, parents and children. Children don't forgive their parents for not being exactly the parents they needed. But that's one of our first places to learn forgiveness. And if, for example, this is a dynamic with my parents as well, but if you can understand that they're on their journey and I'm on my journey, and I actually got what I needed for them to learn these lessons, it switches everything to where even if the parents weren't exactly what you needed, they taught you what you needed, and it was ultimately for your good. And when we can move ego out of the way and see things as being for our good, we can forgive and let go.
That was a really good answer to a really good thing that we deal with and struggle with. I think that provided great insight. What is unconditional love, and why do most people struggle with it? Why do people struggle with self-love? And I think understanding what unconditional love is, because we think that unconditional love is for other people, and a lot of people struggle with self-love because we don't know. It's part of what you said, that last, you know, forgiving ourselves too. We don't know some people, we don't know how to love ourselves. Can you help us understand, like, what is unconditional love to someone struggling to understand that?
Well, unconditional love is actually one of the hardest and one of the last life lessons, and it's the toughest. Generally, you go through quite a bit to get to unconditional love. A lot of people get unconditional love confused. What they think unconditional love is, that whatever the person does to me, I have to accept the way they treat me, and I have to love them even if they treat me badly. And that is correct, but the thing with unconditional love is it doesn't require you to tolerate their bad behavior. They can be held accountable. They can, and this happens in forgiveness too, they can be held accountable for their actions. They can. Okay, let's unpack unconditional love a little bit, because there's one thing that gets in the way of unconditional love more than anything else, is people think that they cannot love unconditionally because it means they have to tolerate somebody treating them badly. Like, I have to have this person in my life and I have to love them even if they're abusive or just rude or not a positive part of your life. And that is the biggest misconception with unconditional love, because you can have unconditional love for anyone, and it has nothing to do with what you'll tolerate in life. You can decide that somebody is not good for you in your life, not see them again, but instead of having resentment and hatred, you still have love for them. And that's why it's unconditional. It's not even a part of this physical plane. Mm. So you don't have to be with somebody to share unconditional love. I'll give you an example in my life. I was fortunate that I believe I was born with unconditional love, because ever since I was a real little girl, I have known my children in my heart. I have loved them for my entire life, even before they were born. I knew their souls from a little girl, so it wasn't even conditioned to love them by them being born. So you don't have to have somebody directly in your life to love them. It's a shift from hating and resenting to loving them, and again, understanding they're on their journey, and their journey is their business, and just shoot them love whether they're in your life or not.
If y'all could see me in here, like, shaking my head so profusely about how on point she is about this here, because I have to go into this one just a tad bit, because of, I just told somebody, I said, I could tell you I love you. If getting into a new relationship with somebody, I told them, I said, I could tell you, like, if I'm, you know, meeting a new girl, I could tell her I love her right there, because I told her, because I knew you when I was 5 years old. I don't have to wait for 2 years for us to court for me to know who you are. I know who your soul is. And because I know who your soul is, I can tell you right now today, I loved you because I loved you 35 years ago, 25 years ago, when I loved you that long ago. So all I was waiting was for the suit to show up. All I was waiting for was the body to show up, but the soul I already knew. So I tell people that same thing, like, I can love you, and I can really mean that unconditionally, without having to believe in some, oh, we don't know each other, we got to court, we got to do this. No. I love you right now, you know? And that's so good. That was so good, and I appreciate you giving that, providing that beautiful answer.
Well, I love what you just said there, because we all were blessed, and our inheritance is this soul. And when we see each other as souls that are also divine, we can love that divinity and that soul in each other. And again, it doesn't mean that if you meet this girl and you can share unconditional love, that she may not be the right person for you in your life. Mm-hmm. The two have nothing to do with each other. She may be the perfect person for you in your life, but you don't quite know that yet. But on that divine soul level, mm-hmm. you can share unconditional love with yes. anybody.
Definitely. And I totally 100% agree with that. Oh, yes. I've been wanting to go into this one, because I'm going to take and be honest with you, this one is personal. And then we're going to start to, wrap this up, because I know that this is, we can probably spend 3 or 4 more hours in this alone and just unpack all of the seven life lessons and everything that comes alongside of those things. One of the things I struggle with still sometimes today is identity. And I struggle with this one because in that teeter-totter on the fence about who I am, sometimes I feel like I'm in my purpose. Sometimes I feel like I'm not in my purpose. Sometimes I feel like I'm a person that's struggling. Sometimes I feel like I'm a person that's doing good. Sometimes I feel like I got it all together, but I don't. But the question I ask is, how can a person who struggles with this no longer handcuff themselves to needing to know who they are?
Well, at the best point of us, our identity is more soul related, and when we go back to that soul, that everything was created, doesn't get destroyed. The soul has been with us forever. It was created in the beginning. It's still here with us, and it's growing and developing. And when we tap into that knowledge that we have that soul, and that soul is divine, and it's here forever, that's our biggest inheritance. Everything else that we go through here on this plane as human beings is for our lessons, but that's who we really are. We really are that soul identity. We're not the person who, you know, is having a bad day and the car broke down on the side of the road, or we're not only that person that needs to pay rent, and we're not, you know, the person that's having conflict in the relationship, and that's not the only things we are, but we are that soul that's connected to the universe or God or source or whatever you believe in. So if we can tap back into that bigger identity, and we can see these things in our lives as teaching us that, but we can see ourselves as those souls, that's our true identity. That's our true inheritance.
I love that answer. That was a great answer. You are really smoking this thing today. I'm serious, like, you are smoking these questions that I just thought, like, yo, it's going to be a lot of spiritual talk and people are going to be, like, lost, but you're really giving people some real, like, simple language to understand how these life lessons work. Wow. I'm enjoying this. I am. Question, why do we judge?
Oh, judgment is one that I talk about a lot. There's a lot of judgment going on with politics and things like that out there right now. We tend to, as human beings, want people to be like us. And if they're not like us, we get uncomfortable. We don't take the time to understand them, and then we end up judging.
Is it fair to judge?
No. And again, I'll go back to that. We're all on our own journey. One of the things that I do when I talk with people on a one-on-one basis is we talk about the fact that spiritually, somebody can be a first grader and somebody can be a fifth grader. Somebody can be in kindergarten. But when you've got a first grader who doesn't know algebra, do you judge that first grader who doesn't know algebra? No, that's just where they're at on their journey. And that's a part of judgment when we look at other people. If we can see them on their journey and we can respect the fact that they're on their journey and know they're not like us, but that's okay.
Let me ask you, if I heard Mike Tyson say that, Mike Tyson said about this one KKK member came on Sally Jesse Raphael's show. And Mike Tyson was reminiscing about the episode that he was watching on Sally Jesse Raphael. This KKK member came on, his leader. And Mike Tyson asked, you know, the question. He said, he was asking, like, what is, you know, why does he fear black people or something like that, right? And so it's not that he feared black people, Mike Tyson said. It's that Mike Tyson said that he wants power and control because he doesn't know, or he doesn't have love. And I saw that as, like, so profound. It's like, wow, someone who is seeking power and control is a person that doesn't know what love is in themselves. Is control a form of fear and insecurity?
Control is one of the life lessons I work with a lot. And control does come from fear. You know, fear that we're not enough, or fear that we're going to lose something that's important to us. So I do see an insecurity is a part of fear, but we are ultimately not in control.
Okay. That's good. I like that. Unpack divine guidance for us, and then we're gonna go into wrapping this up, because I wanna get you into a flow where you just flow, because you're flowing. But divine guidance, can you unpack that for us?
Divine guidance is wonderful. And that, have you ever had your gut talk to you and tell you something is just wrong or something is just right, and you follow your gut? That's a form of divine guidance. And when we can kind of get out of our own way and begin to listen, and especially listen to that gut, it really takes us places that we should be going. And when we don't listen to that gut, that divine guidance, because we're getting messages all the time on what to do and what to follow. And when you can sit back, and this is also a great place to meditate, is to tap into that divine guidance. But if you can sit back and listen to your gut, you'll learn a lot about where you should be and what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. And I think even in relationships, we've all had that little red flag feeling in the gut of going, ooh, I don't know if this is good, but did we listen? Or saying yes to something that even makes us uncomfortable, because it can help. Like, I'm a little nervous doing a podcast today. But, you know, say yes, because the message is important. And so, you know, I wanted to do this with you, even though I was a little nervous and it's a little out of my comfort zone, because it felt like the right thing to do. It felt like a positive thing to do. And I think sometimes we don't listen to those, whether it's for our good or for our bad. We don't get out of our comfort zone when something could be good for us. And we don't leave something where our gut's telling us, this isn't okay. So divine guidance is really about those messages that we get and really paying attention and following through.
Pretty good. I like that you said that you are getting out of, you know, your comfort zone with this. And one of the things that stood out in your answer was the fact that you said, you know, this is, you know, you're nervous about a podcast. And first of all, I'm glad to be your first podcast. You know, I'm glad to, you know, get that out the way for you. But at the same time, what I realize is that now when someone asks you to do a second podcast, you're going to know what that feeling, if it's a good, if it's about, you know, you're going to follow that divine guidance and knowing that, or if it's for them, for me, for us, for we, for, you know, the people, you're going to follow that divine guidance. And I think that's great to end off with, and being and giving people some type of tip that they can, you know how to take on the fears of life. It's just knowing how to tap into yourself, like you said, through meditating. But going and following that divine guidance is going to get you there. For right now, I want to say, is there anything you want to add or you want to tell people, and tell people how they can find you? Because after this, I want to go into getting you into a flow real quick, and you'll see what that looks like. But if there's anything you want to add or you want to tell people about how, where they can locate you and find you and how they can get your services, that would be the time to do that right now.
Yeah. If you want to talk about any of these further, I'd be more than happy to help. You can reach me through my website at creatinghealthandhealing.com. Also, Suzanne, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, at creatinghealthandhealing.com is my email. Also, speaking engagements are wonderful. I love to get the word out and talk to people about this. It really starts opening up their eyes. One of my favorite parts about this is, without awareness, we can't, it's hard to change. Half the battle is just being aware. I need to forgive, or aware that you're judging. Aware that unconditional love is different than we think it is. Part of that is just awareness, and we can grow so quickly just by becoming aware. That's where like half the battle is. So that's why I love to spread this message, is when you're aware that forgiveness doesn't need to involve the other person, when you're aware that unconditional love doesn't mean you have to tolerate bad treatment. It makes it, it clears up those misconceptions and make us aware that it's easier to do than we thought.
That was so good, that answer. Because right before I came here to do this interview, I was telling the person, I was like, it was like, oh, you make me feel dumb. I was like, no, I'm not making you feel dumb. I'm making you be aware of the things that you are not aware of. It's called coaching you. It's like Michael Jordan could not be the great Michael Jordan that he is if he didn't have a coach see where he could, the things he could not see. A coach, that's what a coach does. It takes a coach to help you see the things while you're out playing in the field. There's some things you're lacking, and someone watching can see that, but you're not going to do it.
Well, that is a lesson. When somebody is feeling dumb, that's a lesson in self-judgment. They're judging themselves. And if you're trying to coach them and they're feeling self-judgment, they're not going to grow, because they're going to be stuck in that judgment of themselves. So if we can get past judging and actually listen to the message that the coach is giving, or if that coach is not the right coach, we listen to that message too. But if the coach is the right coach for us and we're judging ourselves and feeling dumb, we're shutting down the growth and we're shutting down the message that the coach is bringing. So self-judgment is a very big part of that life lesson. And self-forgiveness is a very big life lesson.
I don't want to add nothing to that. That was too good. That was too good. And I hope the people that are listening got that. So I want to ask you to go into a state of flow. Okay. But before I go get you into that state of flow, I always ask my three questions at the end. My favorite three questions, because I like to know for me personally. I'm going to start by asking those, and then I'm going to let you go into a flow after that. My first question is, what is one thing you are most grateful for?
Oh, I'm most grateful for this opportunity and also my children. I'm extraordinarily grateful for the feeling of having known them my entire life and knowing that, you know, once I'm gone, then we still are bonded and we're still together. So that, I guess, the life lesson of unconditional love is what I'm most grateful for.
Pretty good. Can you name one book, one movie, or one song that still inspires you today?
Oh, my favorite book, I have it right here, is A Course in Miracles. It's a wonderful guide for spiritual life. I recommend people pick up The Course in Miracles. My second favorite book is Untethered Soul. That's another beautiful book about spirituality.
Funny thing, I was at a bookstore that was had a book, bunch of book sales going on, and they were like for $1, $2, and one of the books I saw in there was A Course in Miracles, and guess what? I bought it. Yep, I was like, everybody talks about this book, so I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
Yep. Can you name one person who has greatly impacted or influenced your life in some way?
Oh, goodness, there's so many. I like to think that I take a lot from a lot of different people because we all have something to give. But I'd have to say that my mentor, after my children left home and I was kind of not knowing where to find that fulfillment in my life again, he showed up in my life and he gave me this path, and he grounded the lessons that I still needed to work on. And he was like, oh, but you got this one. Good on you, and that's going well. And then he asked me if I wanted to do this work, and I, divine guidance, absolutely, yes, I want to do this work. And he's been working with me ever since. So I think that that had a great impact on what's going to occur for the rest of my life.
Pretty good. Wow. So here's where I want to ask you to go into your flow, F-L-O-W. I used to say feeling love operate within, but I like the word feeling love overflow within. So, because I think we're overflowing with love, people generally, you know, as Brown said, there's some good in the worst of us and some bad in the best of us. And so I think that we all have some type of good in us. Go into a flow state for me where you just basically give people a piece of you and tell people something that you want to impart with them and leave with them to make people feel good about, you know, themselves or whatever it may be?
I want people to feel kindness for themselves. I want people to feel love for themselves, understanding that this is the journey and anything that's happened is for your good. And if we shift the view that this is a bad thing or this is a bad person, and we realize that these are opportunities for our growth and forgiving of our own pasts and forgiving and not judging our own pasts and beginning with that self-love, that we're all these divinely created souls and we're all deserving of love.
Pretty good. Be kind to yourself. Okay, Suzanne, I want to say, first of all, thank you for taking the opportunity for coming on to the show. Thank you for allowing me to be in your space. I just want to right now take this moment in time to shower you with love and with praise. And I just want to say thank you for being you. Thank you for giving your soul and your life to this purpose, to this greater good, to all that we are trying to grow and become. Thank you for being you and divinely following that intuitive guide that's in you and listening to the call and listening to the request for me to get you onto the show, and you did that. And I just want to say thank you for that. You have blessed many people, and I just want to continue to say blessings be upon you, and I shower you with just good positive energy. I shower you with good vibration. I just send nothing but the greatest of all that I am to you when I'm thinking of you, and I hope that you feel it and you pick up on it, and I hope that you take it and you share it and you give that love out to everybody else for that and for doing this. I appreciate you and thank you for giving me your time. And with that being said, that's the show.
Yeah, thank you for what you do, and thank you for letting this and other messages get out. I greatly appreciate you and have unconditional love for you as well. Thank you.
Okay, alrighty, everybody, that is the show. You know how it goes. And at this time, I would like to say I will see you on the other side. Remember, live your purpose on purpose. I love you. I love me. I love us. Peace out.